Praise God. Good afternoon. It is always an honor, a humbling honor to be before you to bring you to the word of the Lord. I don't take it lightly. We pray and ask that God's voice would be heard. And our prayer has been that your eyes would be open to see what he's doing in your life and the promise of your life, and that your heart would be open to truly hear not only God's plan, but perhaps some things that he wants to speak to you. I'm going to talk about several questions of freedom. The name of my message is A Question of Freedom. If you could go to your Bibles to Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 1. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, I know that you have laid this word on my heart for this moment at Times Square Church this afternoon. And Jesus, I ask you to just simply use me and the way that you've given me this word, the way that you've worked my heart with this word over the years. God, I ask that I would just be a vessel that would be able to be transparent, Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And I pray, God, that the ears of those here would hear this word. And God, hearts would respond to the cry of your heart and your promise of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. A question of freedom. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 1, Paul writes, "For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It is for liberty that some translations, and that you don't let yourself be entangled. And I think King James uses the word entangled. And I see that word entangled, and I read this as a Christian, and I go, it is for freedom that Jesus set me free. And yet at times do I run the risk of being entangled once again. Entangled means that there's something wrapped around you in so many different ways that you can't, like, untangle it. A couple years ago, my granddaughters were in country, and we're fishing on the lake down at the waterfront fishing, and one of them got their line all entangled. And so tried so hard to get it untangled. And before you know it, it was just a mess. And it was, "Papa, help me. How do I do this?" And I look at it and I go, "There's no way. How do you possibly do this?" And God spoke to my heart then. He said, "Be very careful. Be very patient. Sit down. And just one little piece at a time, begin to untangle this line. Just untangle it for her benefit." And I was learning so much at the same time. And I saw how many times as a Christian that I allow myself to get entangled to the point where I just have to yell out on the mercy of God. Pastor Carter asked several messages ago, he said, if Christ were to set you free, what would you do with your freedom? If Jesus were to walk up and say, "I am willing to set you free," and he reaches out and touches you and does set you free, his question would then be, what are you now going to do with your freedom? As the time he asked that question, I did ask in my own heart, what am I doing with my freedom? Am I honoring God? Am I living the way that I'm supposed to live? Am I thinking the thoughts that I should be thinking? Am I in my devotions, am I praying that God would have his way with me? What am I doing with the freedom with which Jesus set me free? Or do I sometimes slip back in areas that eventually become entangled? And as Christians, as Pastor Carter even referred to this morning, everything doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes there's a slow process, but yet God's promise is true to us. So as we walk through the next several minutes in this message, I want you to be asking yourself a few questions about freedom as we go through this. And the questions would sound something like this: am I really free? Am I willing to be free? Is Lord, am I perhaps reluctant to be free in certain areas because I'm thinking about the cost of freedom? Am I willing or am I reluctant to be free in this, knowing that what might have to happen once I am free? Indeed, it may mean that you simply walk away from certain things. The cost of freedom. If you're asking yourself that question, Lord, am I reluctant? Do I really want to be free? Freedom simply means, in its most generic terms, is the liberty from bondage. It's freedom from enslavement. It's unshackled from something that once held you. That's what freedom basically is. But it also extends out further. It says that now once that occurs, you have unrestricted access to what you really wanted. Because when you're in bondage, there are dreams that you have. One day if I'm free. One day if I don't have to hassle with this. One day if I don't have this. You have these dreams. So freedom simply means, on one hand, that you're set free or you're unshackled from that which holds you, to give you then access to that which you dream, what you want to have access to. It's freedom of religion. It's freedom of speech. It's political freedom. It's freedom to do what you want. I can certainly say before Christ, my definition of freedom is a lot different than it is today. My definition of freedom started as long as I could remember, once I just don't have to do homework anymore. Do I have to eat my vegetables? Do I have to do these chores? Freedom also came with a promise. Well, if you do your chores, you'll get your allowance. If you do your chores, you'll get to go play more baseball. If you do things, if you do what you're supposed to do. But there was always this freedom, and there was this cry of freedom from tyranny. When I get old enough and I have kids, I'm not going to treat them this way. I'll let them stay out till midnight, not 10:30. I'll make them do 30 minutes of homework instead of 2 hours of homework. It was this freedom of tyranny. And as a child, you cry out to say, God, help me. And when you get in a little bit older, as you become a teenager, your freedoms become even more exaggerated. Your dreams become more exaggerated. Your desires become more exaggerated. What happens is that you eventually get to the place where you say, I want no restriction. I don't want any speed bumps to slow me down. I want unfettered access. I want unrestricted access to the pleasures of my own heart, to the dreams of my own heart. This is what I want. I want to be free, but yet it's a freedom that's self-focused. It's a desire for freedom that's inward. It's a desire for freedom that will self-satisfy. And without Christ, that's what we are. We're actually enslaved to that. We're even enslaved to our own desires. And so God is saying, it is for freedom that I set you free. My struggles as a teenager just got exaggerated when I got into college. There was no curfew. There was no restrictions. And it just seemed like there was a free-for-all for the pleasures of your mind, the pleasures of your walk. Without Christ, when there's no speed bumps and there's no governor, where there's no restrictions, you're free to do what you want. You're free to go where you want. You're free to have everything. You're free of all of these things. In fact, there were times when I would come home from a night out and I would say, is this really freedom? Or have I gotten to the point I'm just dulling the senses? Have I gotten to the point where I'm just trying to escape, perhaps, of maybe some memories that I've had? I came out of a background where my parents, God bless them, I love them, they did their best they could for us. We didn't come from a Christian home. So mom and dad were pretty abusive to one another in multiple ways. And so perhaps when I got away from the home environment, was it to cover up some of these memories? Was it to cover up, or perhaps what I might find if I came home? What would I see when I would walk into the house? So when I got out there on my own, was it really freedom? Or was it really just a way to dull the senses? In fact, there were people running around on our college campus that would say, euphoria is reality. You want to have this euphoric sense. You want to be totally free. You want to be totally at liberty. You want to be totally feel good. Freestyle, free bird, free everything. Free lifestyle. They would even say that's found in this little pill called LSD. If you'll take this, it's euphoric. In fact, if you take enough of it, you can see God. And there were times we tried to see God. It became a notion on campus that even you could begin learn how to meditate. You'd be opened up to Eastern religion. You could all of the spiritual stuff from a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds. We had no idea. But you're opening yourself up to all of these things and this desire for freedom. For real freedom. My psychology class, I'm doing a paper on, and it was an open subject, so I chose freedom. What does it really mean to be free? I just come from a concert where after the concert, they would gather people on the lawn of the student center, and they would talk about Eastern religion. They would talk about things that we thought were just tantalizing. And it began to fill your head full of things that sounded good and this euphoric feeling that went along with it by these little mind-altering pills. And so I chose as my topic, freedom. At the end of the semester, I turned my paper in and my professor comes up and says, how do you take the letters of the alphabet and say a passing word? Is it A? Is it B? Your paper was all freedom with a capital F. Well, guess how I define F? All of a sudden, I'm hit with the reality that I wasn't so free. I failed my psych class because I'm trying to be all of this stuff about freedom and what does freedom mean and freedom for this, freedom of expression, freedom of myself, freedom of all these things. And he just simply called it psychobabble. And it was humbling at the time because he actually failed me. I thought I was doing pretty good. He said, your big F is now not freedom, it's failure. You just failed my class. I said, oh, God, if I had the wings of a dove. If I had the wings of a dove. First time I read that in the Bible, I thought, wow, David knows exactly what my heart was the day I got failed in my psych class. And that was written years ago in Psalm 55. Oh, if I had the wings of a dove. Eventually, freedom to me became my own bondage. If I was so free, why would my heart be open to the gospel when I heard it for the first time? If this world system and this world around us can convince us of certain ways of freedom to be free, then why all of a sudden, when you hear truth, does your heart leap? Even though you may not be able to do anything about it because the crust gets a little deeper and a little thicker and a little deeper and a little more entangled. This thing that you're trying to get free from becomes tighter and it becomes more part of your life and your character. And yet there's something in you that says, I want to be free. And in your quest for freedom, you become in bondage. And that's what happened in my situation. My freedom put me in bondage. I think one of the ultimate freedoms I'd always requested or always in my heart would say, boy, you know, if I could just get high with my parents, they would see the light. They would see this, what I'm enjoying, this euphoria. So sure enough, I was home from college and my mom walks into my bedroom and is my brothers and friends and she goes, what's that smell? Oh, it's incense, Mom. Our lava lamp was catching on fire. We didn't want you to smell the fire. So we had this incense going. She goes, no, 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 I know incense. And you haven't had your lava lamp on in years. What is that smell? So we told her what we were doing, and she goes, okay, let me try it. So Mom sat down with us, and I'm thinking, this is the greatest. Mom is going to get high with us. And she did. I went to bed that night thinking this is a defining moment in my life, but something occurred in my heart. And it was like all the speed bumps had just been removed. My parent, who was supposed to govern, my parent who to me was to administer discipline, to set boundaries, to set fences, all of a sudden the fences were down. And even as a non-Christian, it put my heart went, wow, what is this all about? There was something in me that said, this is just, is not right. So fortunately, the next morning, we make our way down to the breakfast room, and our mother is in the aftermath of the night before. And she goes, boys, I just need to tell you what your mom did was wrong. Don't ever do that again. And she actually repented, even though didn't know what repentance was all about. And to me, it kind of put the governor back on a little bit. That it's not okay to do this, Jerry. It's not okay to act like this. It's not okay. There are certain things that you have to be allowed to put around your life. And so all of a sudden it was, my cry was I want freedom, but is this the kind of freedom? I went home to my house one evening when I was in college, and I for some reason I didn't want to party that night. I didn't want to participate in what was going to happen on campus, which I knew too well. And I went back to my house and turned the TV on, and there was Billy Graham on TV. And I'd never seen Billy Graham before. I think I'd heard the name, but I'd never seen him before. So here's this television, and you're so close to it because this is before remotes, right? So you had to go over there and turn it on and click the TV. And so here's Billy Graham on, and I thought, oh boy, what's this all about? So he's looking right into the camera, and he says, do you want to be free? I was startled. Because in my heart, I really did want to be free. And so this question began to just bother me during the next 15 or 20 minutes of, if I am so free, and I even did my paper for my psych class to define freedom, why all of a sudden am I drawn to this? This is the gospel that he's preaching. Why is my heart now going, is this freedom? Is this real truth? Is this real freedom? I was one of the guys that Pastor Carter would talk about that now on Sunday night or Tuesday night, you go and you close your curtains. I went around my house and closed my curtains because we were known as Party Central on campus. Our house was a party house. And I'm there all by myself because everybody else is at the fraternity parties. And so I close my curtains because I don't want anybody to see me watching Billy Graham. And yet there was something in my heart that was watching this, and I'm going, is what he's saying true? Can I really be free? And it became one of the questions of my own heart. I can't say that I got saved that night, but I did acknowledge when he said, there is freedom for those who want to be free. You are unable to do this for yourself. And I realized at that point of all of the things I'd been taught, all of the things I was learning, all the things I was putting into my mind, putting into my heart, into my body, all of the things I was trying to do and even the dreams I had were not fulfilling. In fact, they were driving me deeper and deeper into bondage. And so later as a Christian, it helped me to even understand more about Paul's question. Paul says, why am I not able to do the very things that I should be doing? And why do I not be able to do those? Why can I do these things? And why do I do the very things I don't want to do? So it was a question of freedom. If I'm free, why am I in bondage to this way of thinking? If I truly am free, then why am I not able to govern my own control? See, I think what happens is that the self-controlled nature becomes totally in self-control. It's a way of the flesh. It's a way of the mind where you have no control. Yourself is in control. The satisfying of yourself, the pleasures of self, the pleasures of the intellect, the pleasures of the mind, it's the desire that we've always had as the way God made us. We want to be free. We want to be free. Don't you know that you can be like God if you do this? Don't you know that you can think for yourself It's self-control. It's self-directed. It's self. It's self-centered. And the ability and the desire to follow self will eventually get you in all kinds of trouble. Trouble to the point, and we all recognize it, that you say, I just want to be free of conflict. When self is in control, you become conflicted. Because you do the very things you don't want to do. Even people who carry around physical addictions, they don't want to be addicted. Can I hear an amen? I know there's a lot of you that have come from that place, and there may be some of you here today that are in that place. You don't want to do the things that you do. You don't want to think the way that you think. You want to be able to have freedom, and it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. There are those that not even just addictions, it could be old memories. It could be habits of thinking. The way that you've thought about something. I got myself out of that, I'll get myself out of this. I worked my way out of that, I'll just simply work my way out of this. At some point in time, we get to the point where we coddle. I coddle a memory. I coddle a sense of hurt. Even as a Christian, there are times when you can be hurt. And you carry that hurt. You carry that to the point where you're saying, God, I want to be free from this. I don't want this hurt anymore. I don't want this memory anymore. Is it shackling me? You yourself know in the quietness of your own heart and your own mind things that are going on in your life that are either free or they're not. So it becomes a question of freedom. Do we really want to be free? Do we really want to walk in total freedom? Jesus said that we could have freedom this way. In John the 8th chapter, he said, if you follow my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you follow my teaching, John 8:31 and 32, if you follow my teaching, my rule of law, my way of governing, my heart, the way I've set my kingdom up. If you'll follow what I'm teaching, then in that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is his law, and what does that mean? You've heard from me truth, Jesus said, so speak truthfully. You've heard from me forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive others. This was Pastor Will's message right before we took communion today about forgiveness, about reaching out and serving one another, being forgiven, forgiving one another, helping one another, preferring one another. Freedom becomes the heart of Christ. Because Jesus said, if you follow my truth, if you follow my teaching, I will set you free in the truth that comes from following me and what I plan to do for your life. If you forgive, so that bitterness doesn't entangle. And I mean, really forgive. Because what God put on my heart today, especially today, is that there is such a walk with God that is awaiting those who are willing to truly forgive. So that God can set you free. And from that freedom, there is such a future that comes. There is such excitement that comes. There's something going on in the past that God is saying, I want to set you free. I forgave, you need to forgive. I showed mercy, you need to show mercy. I humbled myself to the point of a cross. You need to humble yourself and have the same attitude that I had. It's what Paul talked about in Philippians. Have this attitude that was in the mind of Christ. Have this attitude that he didn't think equal, even though he was God, to humble himself and become a man and walk on the earth and give himself and humble himself to the point of death on the cross. That's the attitude that we should have so that we can serve one another, so that we can be with one another, so we truly can help one another. Bitterness entangles. I heard a message here one morning. We were sitting down over here, and I knew in my heart I knew after years of carrying this one thing, this one memory, this one hurt that caused deep wounds, I knew that I really had to forgive and let go. And I was sitting there going, oh, and it was like 20 feet from the chair to here. But it could have been the same as jumping off a building. God, I can't go that 20 feet. I can't go. But in my heart was saying, do you want to be free? Jerry, you used to write about freedom. You used to kind of preach freedom in your own way, in your own radical way on campus. Do you really want to be free? I forgave, now forgive. I'm not saying you have to have this person as the best friend of your life. I'm just saying forgive in your heart so that I can set you free. So that I can do something. I can fulfill promises in your life. It could be freedom of memory. It could be forgiveness of something that happened to you in the past. I don't know what that is. But if something is holding you, then this bitterness can entangle. This lack of forgiveness can make you bondage again. It can pull you back into some form of indentured servitude. You don't want to be there, but it just simply pulls you back in. But if you open yourself up and say, God, I really want to be free, then the question becomes, freedom to do what? What do you want to be free for? If it's not for freedom that Christ set you free, then you'll sit and you'll continue to have this issue in your life. And you could actually end your life with that still in there. That happens. That's the real world. But Jesus is saying, I want to set you free now so that all of your days, all the rest of your days, you can walk in the dreams fulfilled that I have for you. I want to set you free. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's free to live under His rule and the standard of His word. Not lack of speed bumps. You actually get to the point where you say, God, put the speed bump back in. Slow me down a little bit. You know what I'm capable of. Slow me down a little bit. Put the governor back on. Put the restrictions back on. Put the discipline back in. That's why I love what's happening at Summit School of Ministry right now, that they're teaching young people the discipline of the mind, of being in the Word of God, the discipline of prayer, the discipline of fellowship, the discipline of how God puts the governor on somebody's life. It's not to restrict you. It is to free you. You follow what I'm saying? The governor of God is not to put a fence around you in that sense. It's to set you free. Because whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. Free of shackles. It's going to be free from the things that have held you. It's free from the addictions. It's free from the old things. Behold, all things have become new. I will free you in the renewal of your mind. That's why Paul said that the washing of regeneration, it renews us in a way. We don't have to continue to walk in the ways that we've walked. We can be Christians and still have these things that will pull us back. But it's really saying, God, am I willing to be free? Or am I reluctant to be free? Reluctant to be free means that there's a cost. Reluctance of freedom. One of the first mission trips I ever took, I found myself in a part of the country that I had no reason to be there. I didn't want to be there. I didn't feel led to be there. I didn't feel this great calling to be there. But I wind up there. My wife was the team leader on this mission trip. And I had these concerns going on in my life that we're about to go into a part of the country that was a war zone. And all of a sudden, this image of I'm the husband, I'm in control of my home, I'm in control of my thoughts, I'm pretty free to do what I feel like I want to do. I find myself having to go into this area of this country where there was unexploded ordnance all over the place. And I was afraid. I was fearful. And I said, God, I am not only afraid of this, but there is something in me now that doesn't want to let go. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. But I'm sitting here going, I do not want to let go I don't want to give up control of this. I want to get out of here. I want to maintain control and exit this country. I want to take the whole team with me out of this country. I want to take my team leader out of this country. And my team leader, being my wife, said, we're not leaving this country until we do what God has sent us here to do. Praise God. So I honestly had to pray, Lord, what would you have me do? I need something in my heart right now. I don't need another message. I don't need another school. I need the Holy Spirit to move in my heart now, because I'm paralyzed with concern. I'm paralyzed with fear and being afraid. God got through and he changed my life. And I just want to read you a bookmark that I keep in my Bible ever since then. This is from a young Muslim who got radically saved on this trip. And he wrote me this letter, and I had it laminated, and I keep it in my Bible to this day. He said, Dear Jerry, the Lord came to your heart and told you to come to Kosovo to meet with me and my family. And I thank you for your group that you led me and my family to born again. I thank you all for who you are, that I see Jesus in you, and you set me free. His name is Bacom Kapuska, young Muslim in Kosovo. Praise God. Not only did young Bacom get saved, his father got saved. His mother got saved. His brothers got saved. His family got saved. He began to preach the gospel in this area that was war-torn, and it was, again, a fearful place to be. And yet, God said, if you will allow me to take care of those things in your heart, I'll send you to places you would never want to go. I'll send you to places you're unqualified to go, that you don't have the ability to do what I've called you to do. Will you just simply be available? But it changed something in my heart. It did something that only God could have done. And it was the ability to say, forgetting that which lies behind, am I willing to press on? Am I willing to go forward? Am I willing to? And it's like taking that leap from the row back here, this 20 feet, which is more like Death Valley, to come up to the altar and say, God, will you take this out of my heart? Will you give me forgiveness and let me forgive, truly forgive of the deep wound and set me free? Folks, I can tell you, that day changed my life. I came to the altar, and I think it was before I actually got to the altar, I knew that I was free, that I was free, that I was free. I knew that I was free. My wife knew that I was free. After it was over, I came back to the seat, and she said, the weight is gone. The whole weight, your countenance is different. There's a lightness to your heart, and I haven't even opened my mouth yet. There was something that occurred that the Holy Spirit, when he sees a heart that says, I really want to be free, and he is now saying, if you follow my teaching, and my teaching is forgiveness, my teaching is let something go. My teaching is repent of this and sin no more. My teaching is that if you will follow me, I will make you fishers of men. My teaching is commitment, so commit yourself. My teaching is, yes, I'm going to put speed bumps there, but they're for your own good and your own protection. My teaching is if you will follow this, I will set you free. And that sparks faith in your heart, faith to believe, faith that you can honestly say, I really want to go forward with God. It's the freedom to take risk without being reckless. Several years after this one trip, I was over in the Philippines, and we were a prison team. We were taking food and stuff into prisons and Bibles and whatnot. And there's a prison right across the street from the hotel we were staying in. We were told we can't go in that prison. This is off limits. You can't go in there. But I'm going, well, it's right across the street. It's 100 feet from the hotel. Can we go in there? They said, no, the warden won't let you in. And God was saying, are you willing to take a little bit of risk? So I walked up and simply knocked on the door. And the team was behind me, and this lady answered the door, said, we'd like to come in, and we're from New York City. We'd like to come in and minister. Nobody allowed in here. No preaching allowed. Okay, we won't preach. How about if we bring food? What kind of food? Well, we'll bring bread. Okay? So I turned around and said, go get all the bread you can find at the local bakery. Get all the juice boxes you can get. And let's go in and let's just feed. Let's just bring something in. And I walked in and the warden comes out and he goes, no preaching here. I'm saying, okay, I got that. But we're delivering bread and we're delivering juice. And so the warden leaves and we make our way back into some of the cells. And I'm back in the cell and I begin to just share the word of God with some of the prisoners, with our interpreter. And the warden now comes in about 20 minutes later. Now he's packing his pistol. And he's looking at me with fire in his eyes. And I'm continuing to preach. And I go, okay, Lord, maybe I've taken this risk a little bit too far. I'm coming to see you. I'm coming home. And he comes up and he grabs the microphone and he goes, I'll interpret. Praise God. But now my mind is going, I don't know what he's going to tell him. So I had our interpreter, I said, you make sure he says exactly what I say. And he did. And as he began to interpret, tears began to stream down his face. As he was interpreting, he started to cry. His heart was melting. Then a different problem occurred to my own mind where my analytical brain kicks in. I said, wait a minute, he's the warden. He's packing a pistol. We're inside the cell. And many of them are slated to be executed. They could kill him and us. So, Lord, you have to have mercy on the warden. Let him get us out of here. So, make a long story short, we revival broke out in that jail. I mean, absolute revival broke out in that jail. The two thugs of the prison were brothers who were in there. They were slated to be executed for killing their mother. But they got saved a couple days after this. They became our bodyguards. So when we bring food in, they would make sure food was properly distributed. But they got saved. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They helped lead the revival in this prison. They were executed the week after, but they got saved. I'm going to see Ronaldo and Eduardo in heaven. Praise God. And several days later, the warden who comes to the crusade that night turned his life back over to the Lord. His wife got saved. His mother got saved. His children started coming back to the Lord. And we're sitting in his office and he promised to sign Bibles for every inmate that got saved. And he would make the inmate come in and sit down with him. He would want to make sure you did get saved. You came to the altar and you really got saved. He would sign their Bible for them. And he would hand it to them and he would teach them. He would teach them up until the day when he had to do the final act of execution. It was amazing to me. And we're sitting there in his office and we're talking and he says, why did you disobey? Why did you disobey me when I said, no preaching here? And I said, warden, you said no preaching here. Not here. I obeyed. You didn't say I couldn't go back into the cell and start preaching. You said no preaching here. He just laughed. He gave me a big hug. And he goes, I want to take that risk. I want to take that risk. And so we prayed further. And in fact, the young lady who helped us distribute food was a Red Cross worker. Her prayer was that she would find the love of her life. She wanted to minister here in the country and bring back resources to the Philippines. She actually married one of the members of our team. They live on Staten Island. They love God, and their heart is to continue to serve back in the Philippines. When you take risk, God does miraculous things. When you're free to take risk, but not reckless. When you're free, the question of freedom is, God, can you set me free to live again? Can you set me free where I can look ahead in renewal and not look backward in regret? Behold, all things have become new. I can be a born-again creature. I can be truly what you've called me to be. I can be free. I can be free to walk in humility. I can be free to love my fellow man. I can be free to serve one another. I can be free to be an armor bearer. And folks, I can tell you, my commitment now, and this is my prayer, is that whoever I'm serving, whether it's somebody in this congregation or the pastors of this church or fellow elders, whoever God has put in my life, my family, I want to be an armor bearer, not a pallbearer. I am free to fight for my family. I'm free to fight for you. I am free as a Christian to lift you up before the Lord. And if somebody is coming against you, if somebody is attacking you, they're going to have a double funeral because I'm going with you. We're going at this together. We're going to fight for one another. We're going to stand for one another. I'm not content, nor should you be, to be an attendance at somebody else's funeral, spiritually speaking. I want to be an armor bearer with you. I want to stand with you and walk with you. And I believe that there are some here today that actually believe the same thing. And I want to close with this one scripture. I want to give it to you. It's out of Galatians, the fifth chapter is where Paul started. But he says, you, my brothers, Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. He started off the chapter with saying, for freedom that Christ has set you free. And he says, you have called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you're going to love yourself. That's just part of who we are. But Jesus said with his freedom, we're free to love one another. We're free to serve one another as he did. So I'd like you to just stand up. And I want to be able to, I'm not trying to jam an altar. I don't want that. But I do honestly believe that there are those here who are crying in your heart, you want to be free. You want to be free. You want to be free to trust, to really trust again. You want to free to believe. You want freedom to fight. You want freedom to be able to fight for your family and for your community, for your neighbors. You want freedom to have faith. Faith that will believe God, the faith that excites God, is the faith that pleases God. You want that. You want to be free of old memories. If that's you, as the worship team just simply plays for a minute, if that's you, if there's a cry in your heart that says, I'm hearing something that's truthful, I'm hearing something that's right, it's noble, it's admirable. And as Pastor Carter said this morning, if these things or truth. Think on these things. These are the teachings of Christ. And if you follow these teachings, he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Those of you who need freedom, come. We're going to pray. And I believe that God is going to set you free. Set you free. Free to believe. Free to trust. Even in areas that you've not trusted God before. Will you come? And just let the Holy Spirit take over. Let him set you free. Oh God, some of you are getting set free right now. I can see it on your face. You're being set free right now. The Holy Spirit is just entering into your heart and your consciousness, just saying, I want to set you free. I want you to be free, to walk in my liberty, to be transformed in your life, to be changed by God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands up? In your own way, as you cry out to God, in your own way, just say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free. It is for freedom that you set me free. I want to follow your teaching so that I will know the truth, and the truth will set me free. I want to be free to fight. I want to be free to fight for my family, free to fight for my friends, free to fight for my sons and daughters, free to fight, free to stand, oh God, as a Christian in this day, in this hour. Hallelujah. Lord, set me free. Set me free now from the memories. Set me free from the bondages in my heart. Set me free from those things that I know you want. Set me free now, Holy Spirit. I cannot free myself. I need the Holy Spirit to free me. Hallelujah. Jesus, set free. Jesus, right now, set free by the promise of your word, by the promise of your life, because of what you did on the cross, because of what you did, Lord, because of your forgiveness, because of your mercy and grace, we are set free. And we can be free to walk before you. We can be free to have you guide our life by the standard of your word. God, help us in this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. By the power and authority and glory of your name, we seal this now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Rejoice. Rejoice. Praise God. Rejoice. Be free.